So good to see my
here today, own brothers and sisters. I want to pick your names out, but I want you to just know that your presence here today is felt and needed so much. We love you. Marty and Margie, also good to see you. We miss you. This is our family. This is where God is bringing people. This is our family. We need each other. Amen. I have a dear friend who I've asked to come to church. Many times I've asked him to come. Not to come to hear me preach, but to come for this fellowship. His wife just had an emergency operation this week. She had to have a triple bypass. Had no idea it was coming. He's doing fine. I talked to him on the phone, and he just doesn't like, he said, I'm not ready for company, he said, but just a prayer, just somebody. And that's why I said to him, I said, this is why I've asked you over and over again, every now and then, to come to church. Come to church so you'll have a family, so you won't be sitting in the living room by yourself, so you won't be at the hospital by yourself, so you won't be dealing with things by yourself. And he's a man who is he's a wonderful man. He's a beautiful man, and he's so friendly and warm, but that's why I keep saying, and I told him that last night, I said, Bill, this is why I wanted you to come to church. Because then you have so many beautiful people here, and you have a whole new family. That's what church is all about. It's not about all the pomp and circumstance. It's about His Word. It's about learning His Word. It's about coming together as a family. And I look out today, and I see my family here. And I pray that we can enlarge our family in whatever we need to do. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Whatever we need to do. But the importance is, what you bring to me and what I bring to you in God's Word is that makes this Sunday so special in our life. This is the beginning of a week where we need to be stronger every week. We need to face things. And people think these are bad times. How many think that these are bad times? I know there's a lot of politics going on, amen? But if you just open up your history book to a few years ago, we were involved in a world war. A world war where people were dying by the thousands. And on any one day, soldiers, men and women were dying by the thousands. So things aren't quite as bad as they were. I keep reading and understanding that we talk about the good old days, but if you went back to those good old days, you say maybe they weren't quite as good as we remember now, because we fluff over the stuff that we had to pray about. We didn't have a job. The car wasn't working. You were fighting with your spouse. There's so many things about the good old days that weren't really all that good, but they're the days that we remember. Amen? So just understand the importance of church and importance of His Word and importance of fellowship. That's what it's all about. Fellowship with each other and with God, because you'd be surprised who needs your love. Somebody you think is the bright and shining star of your church might get some bad news or news that kind of tears them up, and they need your help. And that's where we all need to come together. Amen. That's why I ask people to come to church. That's why I'm never going to stop asking my friends, come on to church, meet my friends. That's why we're going to do the meet and greets, so people can come on an off night, have a piece of pizza and a Coca-Cola, and meet Deacon Sergio, meet the warrior, meet Joanne, say, hey, these are people in our church. So on a Sunday, they'll say, I know where I can go, where I know people. That's so big. So give them praise. Let's praise our Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and pray together, if we may. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. That's whose promise? Our promise. From who? Be seated and enjoy yourself in your church this morning. The church that you're building. How many want to do things for God? You're doing it. You don't have to do all. You have to paint the walls. You don't have to do the carpeting. But you're doing for God right now by being with each other. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's read together. Response of 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever.
For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity.
Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts.
As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity.
Peace be upon Israel.
Hallelujah. And we always pray for Israel. Those are the chosen ones.
Amen.
Those were the chosen ones. But understand, they're not chosen in that way that people think chosen. They were chosen to tell us about God. They were chosen with a responsibility that the world didn't want to have. I guarantee you, the world didn't want to have that responsibility, to have to be the ones to tell about God. But they were the chosen ones. So that's why we always pray for Israel. We do. This is so... I wasn't sure if I was going to do this morning. I'm going to read from Daniel for a second. I know a lot of people are dealing with personal, wanting to work on their bodies, especially with springtime coming, and say, well, what does the Bible say about being healthy, or how can it be healthy? And there's a very interesting story in Daniel, a little bit of what's going on, and if you read it, sometimes it's just missed over, but... Let me see if I can find what I was talking about. Now God had brought Daniel into favor of the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young man who were of your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. And that's what he's saying, because Daniel said this to him. Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. You see, the king had picked 300 men that they were going to teach and they were going to raise up to be his servants. Understand, the king wanted these people. And he said, I want the best looking guys, I want the best looking people, the strongest men, and I want for 3 years we're going to feed them and we're going to teach them our ways, so that after 3 years they will become my servants. And that's what he said in this. And Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He said all he wanted. Let me read. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. How many days? And let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. What are they going to eat? And what are they going to drink? And he said, then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portions of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away the portions of the delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That's my brother James came up to me this morning. This is so beautiful. This is God. Say amen.
Amen.
He said, and when you go on a fast, you're not supposed to tell people, everybody. You're not supposed to say, woe is me, I'm on a fast. But he said, I'm going to come up. He said to me, Pastor, I'm on a fast. I'm just going to eat vegetables and water. For how long, James? For 21 days. And I laughed. I said I was just reading this last night. I was just thinking of people trying to go on a diet, and the Bible's got this wonderful diet for us that you would just eat vegetables and for 10 days. In 10 days, they saw a difference. This eunuch, this head of the servants, was afraid that if Daniel didn't look good, he was going to be in trouble, because the king gave him an order. Now, when the king gives you an order, you had to follow it. So he was afraid. But after 10 days, they looked so good compared to the other men that the eunuch said, I'm going to take away all the delicacies and I'm going to give them vegetables and water to drink. And I had to read that for you today, because that fed me today. People say, Pastor, how do you get fed when something like that happens? So on your diet, when you're starting to think about going on a diet, you want to get ready for spring, you want to run a marathon this spring, maybe you want to do whatever, and you like Brother Walter with the new knee, now he's going to go out there and start doing jumping jacks, and we got to... The Bible gives us a way to heal our body, to heal our physical body. And it just touched me. I just love God so much like that. How's everybody today? Good? We missed you. We truly did. It was cold in Florida.
It was?
It was in the 30s at night and in the 60s during the day. But I thank David for allowing us to go, and I thank David for doing what he did, and everybody in the church for being so responsive to that, because that's what church is. About advice. Say that word with me. Advice. Guidance or recommendations concerning prudent future action. Advice is help or direction. Amen? People give advice. Anybody? People take advice. Right? Yeah, we do. I give it to them. Do we judge the one giving the advice before we take it? I mean, if you met this guy and he was really rich and successful and he was going to give you advice in business, you'd probably listen to him, right? Well, would you listen to a pastor who drives a van that's 10 years old and doesn't wear a suit and tie and everything? See, would you take his advice? You don't know. You might watch on TV some of those pastors who have 10,000 people in their church and they got a beautiful suit on and they're reading, and you listen to him and say, I like this guy. I like what he's saying. Well, I'm going to read out of the same book. I'm just letting you know. But sometimes you'll take their advice because you know me too well. You know how that familiarity breeds that kind of thing? Well, what can he know? I get it. No. So do we judge ones giving us advice? Why should we listen to anybody's advice? What? People are trying to do what? Are you? Okay. So I ask you, who do you listen to? Don't answer. Don't, nothing. Don't yell out.
My mama.
Do you listen to people smarter? Now, anybody ever heard the word mentor? Who's your mentor? Somebody you look up to. Somebody who you trust. Somebody you really trust to give you advice. Whatever you're doing, if this person knows what they're doing, you go to that person. Amen? So who do you listen to? Somebody smarter? Do you listen to somebody you love? We better say yes, Gary. We're in big trouble. Do you listen to somebody who can help? Who do you listen to the most? That's the thing. Whose advice do you take the most? What voice in your ear do you listen to the most? Does anybody need advice? Anybody here doesn't? How many need advice? Do you? You all need advice? David didn't raise his hand. I'm a little worried. Ever been wrong before? See? Thank you, because on my paper, I wrote, you laugh. I wrote it right there. I said, I had that last night. I said, ever been wrong before? And I know, I said, people are going to laugh. So I wrote that, you laugh. But yet, you still give advice. Isn't that interesting? How many times you've been wrong in your life, but you got advice for somebody else? Even more dangerous. You got advice. You know who you listen to the most? Jim? You. When you're alone, you listen to who? Whose advice do you take? Your own advice. You start taking. So who are you listening to? You. Whose wisdom are you following? Yours. You see how dangerous that can be sometimes when you're just following one person's advice and it's your advice that you're listening to? Has anybody ever been wrong before? Come on now, but you listen to your own advice. Why? I know why. Anybody ever say, well, that's not how I do it? Okay. Anybody ever say, I can't change? That's from listening to themselves say, I can't change. Anybody ever say, I don't care for that? Or somebody might say, well, that sounds too hard. Or this is the best one. That's not me. That's not my way. Well, whose way is that then, Pat? Your way, because you listen to whose advice? Hallelujah. She never listens to my advice. Why, she's leaving now. Praise the Lord. Why do I need God? Why do I need His Word? Why do I need God's advice? Imagine that. Say that with me. God's advice. Why do I need it? I got all the answers because I listened to myself. But then you admit you don't have all the answers. Anybody here have problems you can't figure out right now? Then God has an answer. That's why you need. Thank you, Fred. Why do I need God in my life today? Why do I need His word, His advice? I got no problems. What's in it for me? I got nothing to worry about. What do I care? I just came back from Disney. What advice do I need from God? Praise the Lord. People say that. But here's why you need God's advice. You want a new world. You want a new hope, a hand up, a new family. You want love in your life. You want compassion in your life. Greg and I were talking about, you know, the loss that they have in his family, and they're talking about people in Virginia. And his word were, they're so different down there. Anybody ever notice people from the South are a little bit different? Because those people seem to have compassion for other people. Understand? So maybe we need to learn how to get some advice about being compassionate. Maybe we need to use that advice to ourselves. If you're the one giving advice saying, maybe I don't know as much as I think I know, that would be the good beginning of advice. Maybe I shouldn't be who I say I am. Maybe there's some better way for me to be. Maybe there's some better way for me to think. Maybe that's why I need this book and I need God. We're going to get into that. A new family. God's advice, say that with me, God's advice not only changes you, but it changes everybody around you. The people that matter most to you. You know who they are. The ones that you care about the most. I don't have to. You all know in your heart who you care. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Those are the ones you're worried about today. Amen? So those are the ones you want to give, what's the word? Advice to. But you don't want to give them the wrong. You don't want to give them your if it's going to be wrong. You want to give them some advice that makes them victorious, makes them winners, gives them hope. Amen? You want to believe, how many want to believe in miracles? I do. I believe in miracles every day. I believe in miracles for my friend Marty. When he stands up one day and says, I'm done smoking, that's it. That's it. It's over. Not I'm going to feel bad tomorrow if I quit. No, that's the lie from the devil. See, he's taking his own advice. When he said, I can't quit because, well, this patch is going to make me sick. He just took his own advice. But if he took God's advice and said, just put them in your hand and throw them away and say, God, I'm yours. That's God's advice. Amen. He said, well, it's good. He'll say, it's going to be hard. See, he's taking his own advice again. See, you walk into walls every time you take your own advice. But imagine you got these children that you love, these people in your life that you love. Do you want them to make the same mistakes that you've made? Do you? I mean, do you really? But you want to give them your to make the same mistakes that who made? Yeah. You're giving them the advice. You give them, here's the thing about church in this book. When you give them God, amen, you give them God's advice. You give them a reason for hope that they didn't have. Maybe you didn't have it when you were their age. You give them a reason to believe in something that they didn't see. The world's not going to tell you. You're not going to hear it on TV. So you come to church on Sunday to hear it from your pastor reading from this book. And I'm going to read in a minute. Hallelujah. You give them God's advice. And here's the beautiful part about God. It is never too late. Can you say that with me? Never too late to share God's word with anybody, especially you. When you start all by yourself, when you have this word in your heart and in your mind, and you start taking God's advice, Elaine, all of a sudden things are different. You're not doing it the way you always did it. You want to do it the way God wants you to do it. You see, all of a sudden things are changing. And when you change, the people around you have to change. They have to adjust their thinking because now you're walking in a light that they don't understand or they're not been accustomed to yet. But when they see it in you, they want to believe it because they know it's good. When they see it in you, they want to have it because they know it's good, yet they still don't trust your advice until you show them it's God's advice. Can I get an amen? So I tell you this, it's never too late. God has more. He has a plan for all of us. I would tell you this also, brothers and sisters. You came to church today to hear it. Don't settle. Don't ever settle. Don't give in. Look up. And I tell you these three words, dare to believe. You've believed yourself right to this day, March 18th, 2018. You have believed your advice right to this day. I tell you, dare to believe God's advice. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. I'm reading in Proverbs. These Proverbs were given to us to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. How beautiful. To receive the instruction of wisdom. That's why you read this book. That's what's in here. For justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. How about that? Giving your children knowledge and discretion, what to choose. A wise man, anybody here, and I know you do, I know that you feel like you know what you're doing, you're pretty grounded in yourself, but listen, if you're really a wise man will hear and increase learning. Let me read that again, because this is you. If you're really who you say you are, then you want this. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. In other words, you will go somewhere to get the wise counsel. You go to a pastor to learn about God. You will go to a friend who's successful to learn about business. You will go to people who can give you advice because they've been there, done that, and got through it. Those are the people you talk to. The fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord just means reverence. You love so much in your heart. That fear, it's reverence. I wish the word fear was kind of in the Bible. I remember Gloria. Remember Gloria David? Doreen's mama? She asked me one time. She came to our church. She's passed on. She said, what does it mean in the Bible to fear the Lord? And I said, just show him pure reverence. To be so in love with him that you would never want him to take his eyes off you for a second. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I know there are no fools in this house. I know that. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Three, five, it says this. This is so beautiful. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. This is the wisdom and the advice that you should take with yourself. When you're alone, say, not what I think, not my way, Lord, but your way. Because I have tried it my way, and it seems like it ends up the same way every time. I have said that to my wife, and it didn't work. I said that to my husband, and it didn't work. I've tried that. I want to try it your way, Lord. I want to use wisdom from God. I want to talk to my children about life, about happiness, about responsibility, but I want to give it from God so that they hear that. So when I give them advice, it's not the advice that I failed with. It's the advice that God gives me to counsel them with. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That simply means in all your ways include him. Whatever you're going to do today, include him. We're all going to go to the diner later. Include him. Include him in your trip. Include him in your conversation. Include him in your thoughts. That's the way that you start getting advice from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It will be a health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Let me read this again. Those of you that are going to start working out in the spring, listen to this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And here's a word that's not in the Bible very often. You're not going to find this word because God doesn't always talk about us being happy. Happy is a word that has different kinds of meanings to it. But in this right here, Proverbs 3:13, it says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Hallelujah. Happy is the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. Wisdom and her ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. I know we all want to be happy. This is God's telling us. This is the advice that God is giving us today, right here in this little book that the little word we're reading right here. It's so full of stuff for us, so full of power for us. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. Who wouldn't want that? And all her paths are peace. Who wouldn't want that? She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. And then he writes this in 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. And this is beautiful right here, because this is all of us. I know it's all of us, because this is human nature. When you're alone, especially at night when you turn out the lights, and all them thoughts come running through your head, and everything that happened during the day, what's going to happen tomorrow, and how are you going to fix this, and how are you going to fix that. This is so beautiful. When you lie down, because you have God's advice, because you have God's wisdom, because you came to church on a Sunday and somebody read the Bible to you and gave you God's advice, now you're going to go to bed and you have that. It said, then you will walk, hallelujah, safely in your way, and when you lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror. In other words, don't be afraid of something that just happened, some bad news you got, or something, the weather, whatever it is that's got you nervous. Nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Let me read that again. It's so beautiful. I'll read that without interruption. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. We give so much advice to so many people, yet we know that we fail in our own advice. Sometimes we don't take our own advice. We try to help people, but we don't remember how many times, and I'm sorry to tell you, how many times we were wrong. Yet we insist on being that same wrong with other people and leading them, instead of leading them to this, to God, to the wisdom of God. There's a beautiful scripture in Philippians. This is so beautiful. When I used to pray with people at the other church, we had a prayer line one night a week. It was an 800 number where people would call in. There'd be three of us on the phone lines answering the phone, say, can I pray with you? And this was one of the scriptures that I would use, and it just brought so much peace. It said, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of who? Which surpasses how much understanding? All of your surpasses. You don't say, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not sure. But it's that peace that comes over you because God is over you, which surpasses all your understanding. It will guard your heart. That's where your pain center is. That's when people insult you. That's when people upset you. That's right where it goes. But this peace, when somebody comes against you and says something to hurt you, this peace will guard your what? This peace will give you that peace that surpasses other people's understanding. The people will be watching. How can you not be mad about that? You say, because God is with me. Because I'm taking God's advice, not man's advice. I want His advice, and I got it, and He's protecting my heart. Because His peace surpasses your understanding, my understanding, and anybody else's understanding. God is the answer to that strength. Hallelujah. Will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And I will close with this today. Don't believe me. Don't believe me. Believe God. That's simple. Don't believe in my words. Believe in God's words. I just read them to you. How beautiful wisdom is. How beautiful God is. And how wonderful life is with God. You got nothing to lose. Say that with me. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose if today you stopped listening to your own advice and did something somebody else's way, or opened up your mind to a way that God said would be more beautiful? Remember, we talked about Job. Anybody remember 2 weeks ago when Job had that, everything happened, and his three friends came. And what did they do? For the first 7 days, they were beautiful. They were beautiful. Remember what they did? They did nothing. Job lost his family, he lost his children, he lost everything that he owned, and these people went to him to comfort him, and they did exactly what they should have. They just put their arm around him, and they held him while he wept. They probably, like I said, kissed him on the forehead. They probably just held his hand and just were there with him. They gave him that comfort. And it wasn't until they gave their advice that it caused Job all the agony. When they started giving their advice to what Job should do is when all the trouble started. And when God came back and explained it all and told them, who did God say had to pray for them? Job. He said, Job is my servant, and when he prays for you, I will forgive you. Amen? That's the same thing we're talking about today. Take God's advice today. Take God's advice. Let him move you to ways that you didn't think possible. And that will be great if you did something today you didn't do yesterday because you took God's advice about something. Imagine how beautiful things can be. Imagine the potential that you have today. You have it. Who has it? You have it. I have it. You came to church to hear the word today to change your life. Here's one for you perfectly. Don't take your own advice. Take God's advice. Find people who know about God. Find people who can help you. Don't go to those people who tear you down. Don't go to those people who are going to talk negative to you, because that's just going to get in your spirit, and that's not where God wants you to be. So give him praise this morning, because his advice we shall follow. Don't believe me, believe Hallelujah.
Oh, Daddy boy,
Oh, Daddy.